doing that. And I did it on purpose because I knew we're a heavily regulated industry and I wanted to make sure that we never got into the web of all of this. Ironically, we still did though.
And you, at this point, you have your $40 million company. You've had to shut down, as you say, 80% of the company. You've got expensive lawyers, I'm sure, that are on with you all the time to try and navigate through this. What was the outcome, Anik? What actually happened towards the end? And did the end come quickly? I know you said it's an 18-month process, but when the end came, did it come really quickly or was that a drawn-out process too?
No, it was drawn out. I think we were finally done. So we started turning over things and started working on the case by June of 2022. And I think it was finally in January of 2023 that we said, here is all of the documents we have. So we took about 6-7 months in digging, a little bit more, because then they came back in Feb and March, we were still giving some documents over. I think I went to see them in March. I think they delivered their official complaint letter to us sometime in March or April. We negotiated over that for a month or two. Then we got into the negotiations of the extra dollar amount. That took a couple of months. Then once we agreed on the dollar amount and we had something to sign, it took a couple of months. It actually took 3 months to get the commissioners at the FTC to sign off on it. So, I mean, it dragged on until the end of 2023, which is why I say it took 18 months. It was not fast. It was slow. It was thorough. And in some ways, I appreciate that. And in some ways, it sucks, right? Like if I had someone come to me today and said, hey, I got this notice from the FTC, my advice to them would be move fast. Don't drag it. Just look, once you get a CID, it's called a CID, Civil Investigative Demand, you're guilty. Like the chances of them getting, they've already researched you. They have what they want. These words from my lawyer, by the way, too. I'm not making stuff up. I would just say, look, you're going to pay a fine. You're going to do something. Just get to it. You know, save yourself in legal fees. I spent my fine eventually was $2.5 million, which is heavily determined by your ability to pay, which is just so unfair because there are people that have done far, far worse things and gotten away with paying a $200,000 fine because they were idiots and they were broke. And the guy was rewarded for it. So I have some thoughts there. But again, my opinions, I'm allowed to have opinions and they do what they need to do and they do it their way and I respect it. But there's a lot of things that go into determining how the fine was determined. A lot of people online, I saw some people, not a lot. I've been very blessed by how this was received by the industry. I've been very, very supported. But some people were like, oh my God, I can't believe Anik has only had $2.5 million to his name. Guys, they don't take every penny to your name. It's not how it works. There's no point in settling. Why would I settle if every dollar I have to my name disappeared? Obviously, then you're incentivized to go to court. It's a settlement, right? Both parties come to the table and agree. I mean, it's a two-way thing. But I spent about $1 to $1.2 million in legal fees. I spent about $1 to $1.5 million in staff cost of discovery. And I lost at least $10 to $15 million of opportunity cost, which is profit that I would have been making in the business that we had finally streamlined. And I lost a multi-deck, $1 million acquisition.
Yeah.
So for the people that look and say, oh my God, I'm like $2.5 million. That's not so bad, man. You've made millions. You got off easy. Let's talk about the fact that my hair was fully black before this whole thing started. And last time I got a haircut, half my hair was white. Let's talk about the fact that if you try to hand me a certified letter, I'll freak out. Let's talk about the fact that it's at least 150 nights of sleepless nights. Let's talk about the fact that sometimes even till this day, you'll see me staring at a wall blankly. Let's talk about the fact that I have a chronic health condition that's been flaring, that flared nonstop for over a year, gained 20 plus pounds. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, there's just so many things that aren't talked about that I'm going to talk about in my book that I specifically say, you know, one of the things I find the most offensive is when someone looks at me, it's such a naive and stupid comment to say, oh my God, $2.5 million. You just don't know. You just don't know. It's like telling someone who goes to jail for 5 years. I actually had I knew someone that went to jail and I was the dumb idiot who said this to them. He was a young guy. He went to jail when he was 20. He had to go to jail for 5 years. And I was interviewing him and I said, hey, at least it's only 5 years. You were out by the time you're 25. You know, you have your whole life. And the guy just looks at me. He's like, he said it to me in the interview. He's like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's like, do you even know what that means? Do you even know what those 5 years were like? Do you even know what that's done to me for the rest of my life? Do you know the 5 years I missed? He's like, I missed my girlfriend who I had been with for 10 years since I was 10 years old. You know, I couldn't marry her. I left. I watched her marry someone else. Like, it was just like, it was crazy to watch and to listen. And then to go through this, and I'm like, people tell me, oh, it's just $2.5 million. I'm like, no, it's not. It was 20 years of my life.
Yeah,
is what I feel like, right? So yeah, it's been interesting.
And you've got the stress that goes with that, as you say. I mean, how important was the support of your family at that point, Anik?
Great question. So my wife, man, for all the men out there, find a woman like the one I have, man. Just strong as can be, and was like probably more riled up than me. I mean, there were times where she was like, bring it on, let's go. And I'm like, oh, calm down, Tiger. Like, you know, we were about ready to settle. She's like, screw this settlement. Let's go all in. Let's take it on court. This is bullshit. And I'm like, you know, it's all reason, bunch of reasons not to do that. Man, I wouldn't have been able to do it without her. She was just, you know, I have people that I got chance to meet once I got my FTC notice. And cause you go out talking to and meeting others who have been through it. And I've met like two or three at least that got divorced during the time. And no, my wife was a huge part of it. Having my child, it sucked so much that this happened less than a month after it was 3 weeks after my daughter was born. Close 3 to 4 weeks after my daughter was born. As much as that sucked, I think my daughter got me through it. Because I always had something to go back to that would just make me smile. Even until this day, I go home at night, right? No matter how much I've been beat up throughout the day, when she comes running to give you a hug, it's all gone, right? Instantly melts away. I've got two baby girls now that really have helped me through. My friend circle, I can't talk enough about my team. Why are they still here? It's crazy. Leave. Go. This is nuts. Why are you voluntarily dealing with this bullshit? Right? When the ship is sinking, it's like, I got to stay. You all should go. And they're like, no. I'm like, please go. No, I can't afford to pay you right now. Fine. Leave. No. Like, all right. You know, it's a burden, but it's also so humbling to just know like, wow. Like, because sometimes when you're going through this, sometimes you start to question yourself. You start to hear the things that they're saying about you, the questions they're asking, and you start to say, dang, am I a wolf in sheep's clothes? Am I bad? Have I been a bad human? Have I hurt people? Like, you start to ask yourself this stuff. And I was really getting into it. I'm a very spiritual person, and so I really believe in God and the impact of God. And throughout this whole time, there was something that happened at the FTC's headquarters that I thought was God just letting me know, no, you are not a bad person. But my team really helped me through it, man. They're still here. Not one person left me. Not one person who I didn't unfortunately have to ask to leave me left me. And that was such a humbling thing. My friends, my customers, the industry. I was open about it. I talked about it. Everyone's like, hey, what can we do to support? What can we do to get you back up? Like, we love you. This is crap. We don't want you to go through this. The only people I never told was my parents. Until the settlement was written and I knew we were good and we were settling, I did not tell them because they just would not be able to handle it. I did not want to put them through that. What I went through for 18 months, hell no, I didn't want to put them through that. So the day we had an official agreement and I was signing the settlement, I called my dad. I said, I want to talk to you, and I told him. And I stand by that decision. I think it was a good decision. Didn't tell my sister, didn't tell family. Yeah, man, I came out of this. Unfortunately, I feel bad because a lot of people come out of things like this realizing they have no support. I came out of this realizing, damn, I'm blessed because I had so much support.
And you say you had like a sign from God when you got to the FTC offices. This is a great story. Can you share with us what happened?
It was, till this day, I mean, every time I tell the story, I just get goosebumps. So if the person is watching, if I've reached this person, please reach out to me. Because when we met, I could not get your name and take a picture with you. I didn't think it was appropriate. But meeting you that moment was a huge thing for me, and I want to be able to meet you again. I want to be able to say hi and thank you. But so when you walk into the FTC building, it's a government building. You go through kind of like the airport security, okay? So to get into the main corridor. Now, when you get into the main corridor, you are told the FTC building. So I guess it's multiple buildings that get to one lobby. I don't know how it works. I was too distracted at the time and thinking about my presentation to like look around. It was a beautiful building. So you like kind of walk this way, and then you walk up, and like that will be the entrance to the FTC building. And the FTC building has its own security, so the doors are locked, and you have to like knock on the door, and then get buzzed open. So anyways, I was behind. I had like 6-7 people with me. I had my two lawyers. I had like a team of 4 or 5 people. So I was like hanging back for a second. I'm going to use the restroom. I'll meet you guys. So when I get there, they're already inside. I knock. The door opens. I walk in, and the security table is kind of surrounded by them. And all of a sudden, my team kind of like made a little space. And there's a head security guard sitting at the table right under the Federal Trade Commission sign. And he looks at me and he just goes, "Onik? Holy crap. I love you, man. I follow all your stuff. I've been following you for years." And he's like, "What the hell are you doing here?" And I remember being in shock and looking at him. And I just kind of pointed to the Trade Commission sign. I was like, "Well, like that." And he just goes, "Man." And it was the best, most crazy feeling. So I walk up to him. So of course my lawyer comes running. He's like, "Oh, tell me, no. Right? So we shake hands. He's like, "Man, I've been following you for years. Love your stuff." He's like, "But I've only taken your free courses. I've never bought any one of your courses, but I really feel like you've had such an impact on my life." So I get a little emotional when I talk about this story, because I needed to hear that. Like, I needed to hear that at that moment, that I had made a positive impact on someone's life, because I was starting to get convinced that I was a horrible human. And that was probably the hardest thing to deal with of the entire thing, right? And to hear him say that, that's all I remember. I blanked out after that. And so I remember the attorney from the FTC who was responsible for the case, he came down. It was really awkward, right? We shake hands, and my attorney is like, "Yeah, you gotta talk to your guy here, you know, he's..." You know, and one of my slides in my presentation was that, hey, we don't just only sell courses. I have free courses. I try to help. I try to help all the people all over the world, even those who can't afford it. So we're like, told him like, "Hey," and so the guy, security guard, said something to the attorney as like a small thing, and we get in the elevator. It's only a few floors. Weirdest, awkwardest, longest elevator ride ever. It's quiet, and the attorney from the FTC side, he just goes, "Well, that's a first." That's how he broke the silence. He said, "That's a first." And we're all like, "What?" We had kind of forgotten. We're like, "What?" My attorney's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "That. What happened in the lobby? Our security guard recognizing one of our, you know, like you." And that's all he said about it. That's all he ever said. He's like, "Oh, maybe I should go." No, he said one more thing. He's like, "Maybe I should go talk to him." We're like, "Yeah, you should." And for me, it felt like God said, in the building of my accusers lives a man whose life I've influenced positively. So how can you say you're a bad person or you've done bad? I never asked myself that question after that day. I let that go. I was convinced thoroughly at that point that, no, I'm not a bad person. Maybe some bad luck or made some poor decisions that led me into this place. But no, I'm not a wolf. I've not been hurting people. I have made a positive impact. It was a really, really important part. I'm really grateful that God put that person there, because I needed that.
You just have to have a look on your social media feed as well, Onik, to see there's a lot of love for you and for what you do. Yep. And also what you are doing now off the back of this, which is, again, helping people. You mentioned before the book, and I also believe you have a podcast as well. Can you tell us a little bit about those two things?
Yeah, thank you. So, and you know what, honestly, I think that was another selfish reason I started pouring so much value into the world. The byproduct of that was to hear from people the influence and impact I was having and had had. I needed that. That was the currency that kept me going. I didn't make any money during this whole time. I was losing money, burning money left and right, literally burned millions of dollars. But the best currency I had was someone telling me, "You've helped me." That's it. Three words, "You've helped me," was the best bank deposit I could make. Somewhere along the process, as I'm dealing with all the attorneys, one of my attorneys who I'm now business partners with on the book and on the podcast, I just never knew the extent of what I didn't know. Most people think that, look, getting in trouble with the FTC is all complaint-driven process. You have to get a volume of complaints against you. And I didn't have a volume of complaints against me. I was like, I'm good. I'm not hurting people, so I won't get looked at. But that turns out not to be the case. If you're breaking the rules, you're breaking the rules, period, right? Mm-hmm. So the rules you have to understand thoroughly. I got them kind of. And, you know, in hindsight, I look back and I'm like, I probably shouldn't have said that. Oh my gosh, why did I do that? So I'm not saying like, oh my God, I'm completely innocent. I see some of the things and I see the perspective of the FTC. And some parts I'm like, okay, I get it. Some parts I disagree with. But I started to learn from this attorney, Greg, and I'm like, dang, man, if I don't know this in 20 years of being in the industry, there are just so many people that don't know this. And I want those who are small right now, small, okay, people that they call themselves small. If you're making multi-six figures, less than multi-six figures, a couple million, I want you to know now, learn now, because you want to grow big, you want to get there. Please set the right habits from day one, because it's very difficult to change them when you're like five times bigger than you are today. And when you're five or six times bigger, you're definitely going to come into the radar, and you might come into the radar today. Listen, we know about settlements and cases where the FTC has settled with someone for their watch. Or the settlement has been as low as $15,000. So there's a lot of people out there misinforming, saying you're too small. You're not. The rules are the rules. The FTC does not care because they don't make any money from you. You're not paying the FTC. They're doing consumer redress. So get that thought out of your head. People think, well, the FTC wants to make millions of dollars. They're not going to come after the small guys because they keep the money. They don't keep the money. So whether they go after a small person, big person, they don't care, right? So I halfway through, I'm like, no, I got to turn my mess into a message. I got to turn my mess into my message. I got to get this word out. I got to teach people what I'm learning, because if I don't know it, they definitely don't know it. And I see it all around me. My closest friends making mistakes left, right, front, and back. And I'm like, please stop, stop. You don't want to deal with what I dealt with. It is hell upon hell. And so if I can help even one person stop. So that was where we decided we're going to do a podcast. We came, and I've tried to make compliance fun, right? So we call it Don't Say That. Instead of like FTC compliance rules, no one wants to watch that. So like, hey, now what I'm doing is I'm architecting, as I'm doing it, I'm architecting a compliant marketing model. So how do you, because a lot of people are like, well, if I can't say this and I can't say that, what the hell am I supposed to say? I'm not gonna make any money. No, I'm building a business now compliantly. There is a way to do it, and you can do it. You get better customers, it's a better business, it lasts you a lot longer, you have just it's better. Believe it or not, I'm actually really enjoying what I'm doing now. So we have this book called Don't Say That. I have my next book already being worked on, which will be all about my compliant marketing model. We have our podcast that we do every week where we talk about different things you can and cannot do and the different things happening in the regulatory world, which I think everyone should be tuning into. We're going to be using it as an instructional place to teach you how to do things, like things you might be doing right now that aren't compliant, like, okay, value stacking. This package is worth $38,000. All right, let's talk about that, because that is not allowed to be done, right? Your testimonial usage, your own stories, case studies, all of this we teach. So don'tsaythat.com has our podcast, and it has our book that you can grab. And we have virtual events we're going to be doing. We have live events we're going to be doing. We have an audit service that we've launched where we do a quick assessment of your marketing to give you an idea, and then we can do a full-blown audit. We have a software coming out that's fully AI-powered that can monitor live your entire business 24/7, social media posts, your ads, your copy, your sales calls, to make sure you're staying compliant. I mean, we are diving full head first into this to really help businesses all over the world, because even if you're in Australia, Canada, whatever, you can still come into the wraps of FTC violations, state AGs, class action lawsuits. We want to help protect you against all of that.
Anik, tell us once again the web address we need to head to find out more about the book and the podcast and the virtual and in-person events that you're planning.
So don'tsaythat.com has our podcast, has the book. ComplianceSummit.com. So ComplianceSummit.com. Well, if it's virtual or if it's in person, whatever the next one coming up, you can register your spot for the event there. And then also, if you want to learn more from the marketing side from me, where if you're like, man, enough about this FTC stuff, Anik, teach me how to scale a business, teach me a copywriting, teach me funnels, teach me ad buying, teach me community building, go to expertscale.com and join our Facebook group and join our email newsletter, where I'm constantly every day teaching how to build businesses online. So we've got both sides. I'll teach you how to build a business and I'll teach you how to do it compliantly. Expertscale.com, don'tsaythat.com.
Wonderful. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure. I wish the subject matter would have been maybe slightly different, but still, thank you for sharing your knowledge, your insight, and your story, which is I'm sure you're glad it's behind you.
Yes, I am. Hey, thank you for having me. And for those who are listening, seriously, thank you for listening. Thank you for taking this seriously enough to listen. And you know, look, I always say one thing at the end of everything I ever say, which is when life pushes you, which it inevitably will, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. Thanks.